Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with legendary TV producer Norman Lear, who created so many great shows, All in the Family, Good Times, The Jefferson, the list goes on and on and on. Mr. Lear, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
My great pleasure.
So a lot of people say we're kind of in a golden age of TV now, but you know, you kind of had a golden age of your own back then too. A lot of it you created. Just kind of tell me, what do you think makes... compare what you think it took to become a great, you know, TV show creator back then versus, let's say, maybe the Vince Gilligans of now, or the David Chases, David Simons, those people. How do you think it's changed, or is there similarities, you think, in what it takes to be a great creator?
Well, I know that when we were doing our shows, we were dealing with the problems we were clearly, knowingly facing in our families, our neighborhoods, our cities, our country. We weren't making up any. We made up the characters and how they went through these subjects, you know, lived through these difficult times or what we were dealing with. But the subject matter, whether it was divorce or menopause or abortion or the economy or politics, or it was the stuff of life, and it was altogether familiar, and we didn't have to make up anything, and that would be true today. What families are going through today is the stuff of drama and comedy, and one needn't reach beyond the living room and the bedroom to know what the topic for an episode of any television show existed in our normal lives.
Gotcha. So you're sort of saying that, you know, your characters, let's say like Archie Bunker, is sort of a reflection of what's actually going on out in the world, and the people sitting in their armchairs watching All in the Family can kind of see their real family on screen, like up there. Is that?
Well, that's what I've heard through the years. You know, I'm in Chicago now. I was doing a couple of interviews and events yesterday. And I don't know how many times I heard, you know, he was my father, Archie Bunker, or my uncle, or I lived with that all my life. But I also heard, you know, we used to sit and watch All in the Family together. It was a time we knew we were going to be together to watch the show. I'm not sure that's happening now. There is so much content. I don't know if appointment television exists except for the individual who may be watching it someplace on an iPad as opposed to a television set.
Right.
But at that time, families were getting together to watch things. There were only three networks, and for the most part, a living room television set. It was before there was a television set in the bedroom and the kitchen also.
Right. Take me to, you know, before All in the Family hit the airwaves. Well, take me into the, you know, when was sort of the moment that it started percolating and the idea for the Bunkers even came about?
Well, two things had occurred in my life. One, I was, we were doing the Martin and Lewis Colgate Comedy Hour,
right,
and the Martha Ray Show and so forth. And I was being divorced and had a child. A friend by the name of Phil Sharp visited us in New York, and he had just been through a divorce, and he had four kids. And I asked him, how did it go? And he said, it went fine. I said, I was in agony. We were having such a difficult time in this divorce. I said, well, how did it go so easy with four kids? He said, because all she wanted was my Joan Davis reruns. He had done a show called I Married Joan, starring a great comedian, Joan Davis. Mm-hmm. And all she wanted was the reruns of I Married Joan. And I thought to myself, as difficult as I was going through, I've got to do a situation comedy. Because I had been doing live television where we were well-paid but didn't own anything.
Right, right.
With a situation comedy on film, you own something. And there were reruns and such. So that was on my mind. At the same time, I learned of a British show called Till Death Us Do Part, about the father and son arguing over everything politically.
Mm-hmm.
and which was my father. My father used to call me the laziest white kid he ever met, and I would yell at him, you know, why do you have to put down an entire race of people just to call me lazy?
Yeah.
Well, that's not what I'm doing. You're the dumbest white kid I ever met. So
you were sort of the Rob Reiner meathead then in that relationship.
I was. He called me. That's where it came from. Meathead, dead from the you're a meathead, dead from the neck up.
That's awesome. Well, that's so cool how you know that you're able to sort of bring your own life on the screen like that. Take me into the thought process behind all of the different spinoffs. You know, I mean, the Jeffersons was just as much of a legendary show, and it's crazy to think all those shows like Archie Bunker's Place, Gloria, all those came from that, and Maude even all came from that same show.
What are known as spinoffs came from the fact that we had great players in smaller roles.
Mm-hmm.
Maud made one appearance. B. Arthur made one appearance as the Maud character on All in the Family. The reason she was there was, in my family experience, there was nobody that could hand it to you like a relative with an old grudge. So she was a cousin and best friend of Edith's, who hated Archie from the very beginning, didn't want them to get married. We brought her into an episode because she could lift across 20 years an old grudge and beat the hell out of them, which is exactly what happened on the episode she guest starred. But by the time it was going off the air, a network executive in New York was calling to say there may be a show in that woman, which of course we understood was going to happen. And that's how Maud was born, but that's how Good Times was born, because the character on Maud, Florida, mm-hmm. was such a rich character that we introduced a husband in an episode of Maud, and then we knew we had characters that could make for another show.
And speaking of Good Times, I mean, I remember watching those reruns over and over again when I was younger. But take me into the skyrocketing success of Dynamite, and then also later when you guys had to kill off the father with Damn Damn. Those are the two. I remember Dynamite and Damn Damn just kind of echo through TV history there.
Well, J.J. was a hilarious character and a wonderful guy, by the way. I mean, he was the dearest person. And he said Dynamite once, and it got him to kind of laugh. He said he didn't get otherwise. And he said it again, and it became a part of his character. And, of course, it annoyed other players to see him get such an easy laugh every time he said Dynamite. They didn't want to hear it that much. Which is kind of a normal human reaction among actors.
Right.
And I think perhaps we did it more than we might have. But then again, you know, we were on the air every week for 22 or 24 weeks. In Great Britain, for example, when I finally looked at the antecedent to All in the Family, too, which was called To Death Us Do Part, they did 6 episodes every season. We had to do 22 or 24. And so the repetition of of the moves and facial expressions and so forth became far better known, and in some cases where people didn't like it, became annoying. So it certainly was annoying to other actors to hear him get the free, easy laugh he got with Dynamite. Right.
What about Florida's Damn Damn? Was that a hard decision to get rid of that character?
You know, I'm having difficulty remembering the Damn Damn.
she throws a. It's after the husband's funeral. She's held it together all episode. She goes in the kitchen and finally releases her grief.
Yes. Now I remember. But, you know, the whole John was so unhappy that we had to kill off the character in order to relieve the tension in the cast.
I gotcha. Okay.
But we went on to do another show years later. It wasn't successful, but I loved it, 704 Hauser Street.
Yeah, like in the 90s, right? Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. All right. Well, I know we're sort of up against the clock and got to wrap it up, but you know, just before we go, I mean, let's mention your book here. It's called Even This I Get to Experience. What caused you to want to put all these great memories and thoughts down, you know, pen to paper?
Well, look at the you know, this conversation. It took me 93 years and some months and some days to get to the moment where I'm talking to you.
It's all been building up to this, baby.
And it took you every bloody second of your life to get to the moment where you're talking to me, isn't that? And your viewers, it took them all their lives to get to hear us.
Right to this key moment in history.
Even this we all get to experience.
Ah, there it is. There's the title. It's perfect.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, we've been really generous with your time, so thank you so much for taking the time to join
us. I appreciate being your guest. Thank you very much.
All right. Best of luck with the book. Everybody, bye. That's Norman Lear on WTOP.